The Business on RTE Radio 1 with AIB. Whatever stage your business is at, there's always time to imagine sustainable, positive change. AIB, for the life you're after.
Well, finally this morning, with the race to elect the next President of Ireland entering its final week, I'm sure Michael D. Higgins and Sabina have started packing away their belongings to return home. But what's it like getting a house with a job? Can it ever become your real home? Dave McArdle has been finding out.
We were living right under the lighthouse. Every time you walked out the door, you were looking up at this lighthouse. And from that moment on, our lives changed.
Third generation lighthouse keeper, Gerald Butler.
For me now, life had to be dramatic because I did absolutely the most insane things that you can imagine. Climbing and diving and swimming and fishing and going way off the rock and that. I used to put on my diving suit and I'd swim out a good way off the rock. Take a little basket with me. When I'd catch a pollock, they were so big, almost as big as myself, they'd be pulling me down as I'd be trying to haul them in with the heaving line. And when I got the pollock up to the top then, I'd clobber him, put him into the box, his head out one side, his tail sticking out the other. I had to be careful because the seals would attack. They wanted the fish and they could become aggressive. Those were my most pleasurable moments in the lights. Adventure, adventure, adventure. You make it your home. First of all, you're there singularly. So you have your own bedroom. And when you go into the bedroom, you are completely cut off. Books were very important. The books that were there, you dived into them. So you do your duty, your watch. It's all done from the dwelling house. You walk around outside when you're on watch, checking the ocean at all times. You're also checking the weather and you're also recording the weather.
Storms for on-duty lighthouse keepers could often be life or death affairs.
I was clinging on to a steel wire that was attached to the rock. When I'd let go to make it to the door, which would be maybe about 4 or 5 paces, the wind was so strong that it was just blowing me towards the edge all the time, and there was a safety rail. I was being landed on that. On the third attempt, Reggie was gone into the tower. He had missed me. He came back to the door and here he saw me just coming like a leaf blowing towards him, barely tipping the ground. Just as I was passing him by, he reached out and grabbed me and hauled me in and we bolted up the door. In those years, I was in my 20s, so I craved excitement. If the tower did snap and go into the water, I feel I'd have been bursting my sides laughing going in.
It is lovely to live on site. It is really nice, you know, hearing the sounds, smelling the smells as well.
Dr. Christoph Schwitzer, director of Dublin Zoo.
But it was a new experience when we came here in 2020, mid-pandemic. First thing we had to do was we had to quarantine for 2 weeks and we could hear the animals on the other side of the fence. We could hear the Red River Hawks, which are our closest neighbours. We could hear the hornbills, which are the closest neighbours on the other side. We could even hear the gibbons and the lions, but we couldn't get there. You know, we couldn't just walk into the zoo. We had to wait it out. And I was really keen to get into that zoo to just see, you know, who these neighbours were. And I remember the first day we actually wandered into the zoo then after the quarantine period. We went over to the Red River Hawks, which is a very nice species of pig. And because they had heard us on the other side of the fence and we had heard them for 2 weeks, we were very familiar with them. They immediately came to the fence, you know, and greeted us, and it was brilliant, brilliant to see. It was really almost like a family reunion.
And what of the experience of living in Dublin Zoo itself? Can it ever quite feel like home?
Yeah, on the house, I mean, that's relatively limited. It's ultimately a zoo house and we brought our own furniture over. So we have that in there. Part of what is in there, of course, belongs to the house. So, you know, you have limited opportunity to shape that. I suppose, you know, my successor at some point may want the wall color to be different, and that's fine. But other than that, we live in what we have, really. And what's best about it is the garden, of course. And then we hear the animals, of course, on the other side. Sea lions as well, they are quite vocal. The lions, even though they are the furthest away from us at the very other end of the zoo, we still hear them. They're very, very vocal too at night. Tigers as well, can very nicely distinguish between the tigers. Tigers go and the lions are very different, you know, they have this much sort of more roary sound, quite long as well. And then the gibbons are very loud, you know, so you have that soundscape that is certainly unique to me and maybe the president. I don't know how much President Higgins and his wife hear from our animals, but I think some of them would probably carry all the way over to the Aras as well. It's an interesting soundscape, certainly.
I'm Camille Rosenfeld.
And I'm James Hayes.
And we were the 2025 Blasket Island caretakers. We arrived with the guests and we were just trying to get our bearings of how things were done. So it actually took us a little while before we started to make it our own. James is a painter and we actually brought out some of his paintings because anywhere we live, it doesn't feel like home until those are on the wall, really.
Yeah, that's true. we put some artwork up. Like, it was all over time where you sort of like start to realize like, oh, this will make the place function better. Like, so
rearranging furniture and things like that. Unlike on the mainland where you can run out and pick something up if you need it, we had to work with what we had around there. So like James needed a bedside table. So we took some like bits of scrap wood and just built it with the nails and things lying around, that kind of thing.
Building things. There's lots of bits and pieces lying around the island. Like, so you got to be a bit resourceful, like, but that's kind of fun, like, as well. There was an old bar in the living room, like that, what would become our living room, you know, so we moved that out.
Do you know the bar from the movie Ryan's Daughter? It's that bar.
Yeah, so, and it's a pretty big chunky thing, you know, really beautifully made.
Sir?
Excuse me, I didn't realise you were serving.
Well, I'm just minding. What did you want?
Whiskey. Thank you.
It's a big chunky oak, and we kind of thought, like, oh, it's kind of hidden, like, back in our cottage, like, do you know what I mean? People couldn't really see it either, so it was nice to kind of make a feature of it next door.
There were people at the beginning of the season, especially, who came out for the quiet, but then as the sun starts to go down and the stars start to come out, the Manx shearwaters start to sing, and that, if you've ever heard that bird, it is like...
It's kind of like a warbling turkey kind of cry.
It is kind of scary.
But how do they feel about leaving?
I felt bittersweet. We're moving on. We're going to do something else with our lives now. But this will always be a special place to us. And I know it won't be the last time that we'll ever be there.
I just felt like glad that it had happened. And also, like, we could see like the south side of the island and you see all the trails. And I remember having a different perspective, like just a much greater expanded knowledge of what the island is and the nature of it. Because like as we arrived, that was all we really knew. That cottage up there is our cottage. But the rest of it didn't mean anything to us. And as we sailed away, I was just looking at it with so many memories of being on different parts of the island and what that road is and where that goes, and populated with memories and knowledge and like... Do you know what I mean? And it's such a lovely thing to know a place like that so well. Yeah, it's a pretty unique situation and a privilege, really, for sure.
For lighthouse keeper Gerald, the experience of living and working on the rock surrounded by the flora and fauna could also provoke strong feelings.
When they come to the rock, the noise that they create is huge. So I used to go over to the what we call the pier head where the kittiwakes were, and I could give ages just standing there, watching them flying in and out. All the young ones would take off together and they'd be flying around to each other's nests, etc., etc. And just a constant cacophony of noise. And then I went over one morning and suddenly they were gone completely. They'd disappear for the winter. That suddenness, that's the one and only time that I was lonely.
Dave McArdle reporting there. Well, that's all we have time for this week. Today's show was produced by Aideen McLaughlin and Emma Laffin. Our broadcast coordinator was Rachel Kelly and Harry Bucklis was on sound. Until the same time next week. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
The Business on RTE Radio 1 with AIB. Sustainability is a step in the right direction towards a brighter future for business. AIB, for the life you're after.